The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. One of those at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God." He replied to him, "A man gave a great dinner to which he invited many. When the time for the dinner came, he dispatched his servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one, they all began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I have purchased a field and must go to examine it. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have purchased 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I've just married a woman, and therefore I cannot come.' The servant went and reported this to his master. Then the master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' The servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out, and still there is room.' The master then ordered his servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedgerows and make people come in that my home may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my dinner.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Make a mental bookmark of this. Romans chapter 12. Everybody got that? Bookmark that in your little brain. Romans chapter 12. That was our first reading. And Romans chapter 12 is one of the best prayer books in the Bible. If you're ever stuck, if you're ever wondering what to pray about, if you're ever distracted and you need to draw your mind back to prayer, Romans chapter 12. Take any line out of Romans chapter 12 and listen to this. They're great, great prayers, things to pray about and think about. Don't be haughty, but associate with those who are lowly. Bless those who persecute you. The one you serve is the Lord. Don't be slack. Let your love be sincere. Hate what is evil. So many of these lines. You could pray about any of them. Romans chapter 12. Remember, somebody once told you. But the one we're going to look at here this morning is this. Rejoice in hope. Endure in affliction. Persevere in prayer. If you can be prayerful, joyful, and enduring when things are bad, that is one of the clearest signs that God's grace is alive and at work in your life. Anybody can be happy when things are going well. But if you can rejoice and consistently when things are going bad, that's God's grace, and only God's grace can make that happen. It's one of my favorite lines. It's from the old rite of marriage, and I read this every time I do a wedding for somebody. It says, "Sacrifice is usually difficult and irksome. Only love can make it easy. And perfect love can make it a joy." You ever stop to consider that sacrifice, if it's not a joy, it means that your love isn't perfect? So, what? Do you wish that described you? Do you wish that described you even more? Well, a little cue for us today comes from our gospel. Now we hear this mysterious parable that Jesus tells of this man who represents God, of course, who invites everyone to a banquet, right, which represents heaven, of course. And all these people who get invited, they all turn him down. Of course, the people that are invited, that represents us, of course, doesn't it? They all turn him down. They say, "I'm too busy. I've got to take care of my oxen. You know, I just married a girl. I've got to go evaluate a piece of property." Who are the only people who say yes to God's invitation? Who are the only people? The poor, the lame, the blind, the crippled. In other words, those who have nothing to lose. Jesus says, "Blessed are you poor," doesn't he? And there's a reason why he says it. Not that poverty's good, but my goodness, does it make the spiritual life easier? Everybody else who's too preoccupied with things of the world miss God's message. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Things of the world, we've all got to be involved with them. Heaven knows I couldn't get through a week in this parish without bills and receipts and all kinds of worldly things, right? But be careful. They can preoccupy your heart. It's very easy to miss God's invitation. And people have been doing this down through the ages. And it goes something like this. People say, yeah, you know, God is really important, is very important, but spiritual life doesn't pay the bills, does it? And they'll say, yeah, prayer, I really should take more time for prayer. I know I should, but it won't get me promoted at work, will it? Or people say, well, you know, holy days of obligation are important and Mass is important, but, you know, I'm on vacation. Or I'm too busy. And certainly God understands. Worldly pursuits create excuses, and you miss the call if you're not careful. And this is the way it's been. One to his farm and another to his place of work. One to watch football and another to detail his car. One to sleep in and another to play golf. One to the movies and one to the mall. You want to know what's most upsetting of all? Church is just as guilty as anybody else in this. Just as guilty. We get so involved in things of the world, we miss the message. And I'm telling you, not only has it happened down through the ages, it's happening right now. And at all levels of the church. Just as an aside, do you know what the church's mission is? What's our mission? What are we about? One thing. The salvation of souls. It's the number one law in the Code of Canon Law. Prima lex salus animarum. The first law is the salvation of souls. We live that out with three, what they call munera, right? Three steps. And in this order, they are, number one, the proclamation of the gospel. First task. And by the way, the proclamation of the gospel in accordance with the magisterium of the church as lived through the centuries by the lives of the saints. Number two, the celebration of the sacraments, the giving of grace, follows the first. And number three, the third, which follows the first two, the third is the works of charity. Now, if you ever find anybody at any level in the church so involved with the third step that they neglect the first two, you can be certain that they've neglected the mission as well. We're busy about so many things that have absolutely nothing to do with the salvation of souls, and it's a good sign that we have lost our way. But oh, that's just an aside. What do we do? What do we do? The only ones who say yes to God's call are the ones who are poor. You know, poverty comes into your life in a million ways as well. All kinds of little sufferings. And this is probably the best thing to do. If you can't bless God in your sufferings, I hope this isn't too oversimplified, but fake it until you make it. I don't really mean that. What I mean is, if you root yourself in faith, you can learn that sufferings are blessings in disguise. And you can realize that God not only has a providence, but a perfect providence for you. This will lead to your perseverance, to your endurance, and to your rejoicing. One of the most disturbing lines in the entire Bible, Psalm number 49. It said, in his riches, man lacks wisdom. He's like the beasts that are destroyed. Don't let it happen to you. Rejoice in hope. Endure in affliction. Persevere in prayer. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. And blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says. They won't miss the call. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Amen.